The Gold Rush, Life in the Old West, by Bobby Kalman. Gold Strike. In the 1800s, most of the people in the United States and Canada lived in the eastern states and provinces. Communities, roads, and pastures marked the landscape. Eastern towns and cities were becoming crowded with newcomers from Europe and Britain. Land in the east was expensive. Many people wanted to have their own land and escape from the cramped conditions of city life. The West. In the early 1800s, the western areas of the United States and Canada were mainly unsettled. Miles of grassy plains and steep mountains lay to the west of the busy, populated eastern cities. At first, only a small number of people made the long and difficult journey west. Most of them were men who went to start ranches or work as cowboys.
Gold beckons.
In the mid-1800s, gold was discovered in the rivers of western North America. It took time for people to learn of this discovery. When the news of gold findings traveled east, many people did not believe these reports to be true. When some of the gold was brought to the east, however, people quickly became interested. Rumors and newspaper headlines convinced people that there really was gold in the west. People across the continent were eager to make a claim and become rich. Thousands of people made the trip west in search of their fortune. A great migration of people to the west in search of gold was known as a gold rush. The prospectors. The people who headed west to search for gold were called prospectors. When they arrived, there were plenty of opportunities for them to become miners. Anyone who came to the gold fields had a chance of striking gold. The Great Gold Rushes. There were many gold rushes, and each brought people to different areas of the rugged, unsettled West. Some gold rushes brought thousands of people and lasted several years. In addition to miners, business people also came. They opened shops and offices in the busy towns that developed around the mines. The increase in businesses helped small towns grow into large cities. Other gold rushes lasted less than a year. The towns in those areas were abandoned after all the gold was taken. The California Gold Rush. The first gold rush in the North American West was the California Gold Rush. In January of 1848, James Marshall was hired by a logging company to build a sawmill on the American River in California. He found flakes of gold in the riverbed. News of his find traveled quickly, and by 1849, the California Gold Rush was underway. People from all over the world left their families and businesses to travel to California in search of gold. These prospectors were known as the 49ers. Due to this gold rush, California's population jumped from under 30,000 to more than 300,000 in just 10 years.
And the caption reads, James Marshall was the first newcomer to discover gold in the West. Unfortunately, he never became rich. In this picture, he is standing in front of the mill he built, which was known as Sutter's Mill. And the caption reads, some miners in the Klondike were known as sourdoughs. Sourdough is a type of bread that the miners ate. It was often the only food they had available in a mining camp or on the journey north to find gold. In the picture above, this sourdough in Dawson City is using a team of dogs to pull his equipment.
Gold fever. Gradually, prospectors moved farther away from the California gold fields in search of more gold. Great amounts of gold and silver were soon discovered in Nevada. These precious metals are still mined in Nevada today. As some prospectors moved east to Nevada, others struck gold in the north between Oregon and British Columbia. In the 1890s, some Californian miners decided to return to the east after they could no longer find gold. Along the way, they stopped in Colorado and struck gold there. Prospectors flocked to any place gold was found. The Klondike Gold Rush. Another famous gold rush was the Klondike Gold Rush. The Klondike is a region of the Yukon Territory in Canada and is near the Arctic. The Klondike Gold Rush began in 1896, almost 50 years after the California Gold Rush. Gold was found in mountainous and forested regions that had long, freezing winters. The precious nuggets were first discovered in a creek stemming from the Klondike River. The creek where this gold was found was known as Bonanza Creek. A bonanza is a rich source of precious metal. $10 million worth of gold was mined in the Klondike during that gold rush. Getting to the gold fields. Business people, farmers, and factory workers left their homes and families in the east to travel to the gold fields. Others came from distant countries. They packed their tools, clothing, and food and said goodbye to their friends. The travelers knew the journey would be dangerous, and they were not sure if they would ever return home. On their own, many prospectors left their loved ones behind. The journey through unknown territories would put women and children at risk. Some could not afford to pay the additional travel costs to take their family along. Other miners left family members at home to run their business in case they did not strike it rich. The sea voyage. People who came from great distances to the gold fields traveled over land or by sea. Reaching the gold fields by sea was difficult. Large ships had expensive fares, and small boats were often cramped, dirty, and dangerous. An overseas trip could take from 5 weeks to 7 months. When the boat finally arrived at the port, the travelers still had to make a long overland journey.
And the caption reads, "This map shows the land and sea routes used to reach the California and Klondike gold rushes. Which route looks the most difficult? Route to Klondike? Route to California? Route to San Francisco? Route to Alaska?" And the caption reads, "Thousands of settlers used covered wagons like this one to travel to the west. People often walked alongside the wagon and helped push its heavy load."
Traveling by wagon train. The journey by land to California was often more difficult than the journey by sea. Some people traveled across the entire continent to reach the gold fields. These miners used covered wagons pulled by horses or mules to transport their belongings. They often traveled together in groups called wagon trains. Traveling in a group was safer than traveling alone. The miners were able to help one another find food or repair broken wagons. Each day, from sunrise to sunset, the wagon train would continue its journey with brief stops to eat and feed the animals. Hazards of the overland trip. Some people traveled to the gold fields on foot and carried their possessions on their back. Whether by wagon or on foot, the overland journey was extremely dangerous. Travelers had to cross swift rivers and steep mountains in sweltering heat and freezing temperatures. There was little food to eat, and people often became ill. Many travelers died trying to get to the gold fields. A large number of gold seekers gave up and turned back before reaching the gold fields. Difficult terrain. Determined travelers overcame obstacles such as rivers and steep inclines. They built scows or rough boats to cross lakes and rivers. In the Klondike, they had to carry supplies over steep, icy slopes and rugged landscapes. In later years, tramways powered by horses or steam engines also hauled heavy loads of goods and supplies up steep mountainsides. Tramway operators charged customers by the weight of their load. Staking a claim. When prospectors first arrived at a gold field, they began searching for gold wherever they could. When they found an area of unsettled land, they claimed it as their own by leaving their tools on the ground. The tools showed other prospectors that the spot was taken. As greater numbers of people began arriving at the gold fields, many prospectors began mining for gold on land that was being mined by someone else. To settle land disputes, miners set up rules so that each miner would have his or her own property on which to search for gold. Marking property was called staking a claim. Claim regulations. When miners found an area suitable for mining, they marked their claim. Some hammered shovels or stakes into the ground. Others made piles of rocks or put up a sign with their name on it. Claims in popular areas, such as along rivers, could be as small as 10 square feet, 3 square meters. Claims that were farther away from the river could be more than 50 square feet, 15 square meters. Abandoned claims could be taken by anyone. In some places, a claim had to be left for a week before it was considered abandoned. In others, a 2-day waiting period was enough.
Registering claims.
As more people arrived, the competition for land and gold became fierce. People tried to claim jump or take over the claims of others. Eventually, prospectors had to register their claims at a commissioner's office. Having a registered claim provided proof of ownership and allowed miners to buy and sell their claims.
And the caption reads, "This woman in the Klondike is staking a claim by sticking a marker in a tree."
How was gold found? Gold was found in the form of small flakes, nuggets, or dust. Some was scattered in the dirt and gravel at the bottom of riverbeds, and some was buried underground. The gold came from larger deposits that were buried deep in underground rock. These deposits are called lodes, or vein deposits, because they are spread throughout the narrow seams of the rock like veins in a leaf.
Golden streams. Over thousands of years, water from rivers and streams eroded or washed away hard rock. Gradually, particles of gold in the rock were loosened and carried away with the moving water. This gold, found in rivers, streams, and other areas just below the ground's surface, was called placer gold. Much of the placer gold was found in the bends of rivers and streams, where the current of water slowed and the gold settled at the bottom.
How did miners get the gold? Gold is 8 times heavier than sand and stones. Prospectors washed the gold in a lake or river to separate it from the dirt. When the dirt containing gold was washed, the gold settled on the bottom of the pan. By swirling the pan around, the dirt mixed with the water. When the water was tipped out of the pan, the dirt poured out as well. The gold-laden dirt at the bottom of the pan was washed over and over again until nothing remained but the gold. Teamwork. Prospectors often worked together on one claim to mine for gold. The job was much easier with 5 or 6 pairs of hands. Some prospectors learned how to mine for gold by trial and error, but it was much easier to learn from someone with more experience. Experienced miners sometimes helped the new miners, who were called greenhorns. They showed greenhorns the best methods for finding gold. Buried gold. In order to find buried gold, miners dug holes as deep as 100 feet, 30 meters. A miner at the bottom of a deep hole put dirt and gravel into a bucket that was attached to a rope. The miners above ground pulled up the bucket. Then they washed the dirt, hoping to see the gleam of gold.
Tools of the trade. When prospectors arrived at the gold fields, some had tools they brought from home. Many had no tools at all. Tools could be bought from small tent stores at the gold fields. Most prospectors, however, bought only a few necessary tools because they had little money and store-bought items were expensive.
And the caption reads, "The basic mining tools were a shovel, left, a pick, right, and a pan, below. A miner used the pick to break away or loosen pieces of rock. The shovel was needed for moving dirt and gravel to the location of the other mining equipment." And the caption reads, "Miners used a cradle to wash large amounts of gold. A miner shoveled dirt onto the metal sieve at the top and poured water into the box. He or she used the handle to rock the cradle back and forth in order to separate the gold from the dirt. The dirt and water came out the other end, and the gold flakes settled at the bottom of the cradle. And the caption reads, "Prospectors separated the gold from dirt using a pan. Some miners panned all day long for gold. Others used the pan to test if there was gold in a certain area. When gold was found, the miners used larger equipment to separate the gold from the dirt and rock." And the caption reads, "Sluices were also used to wash gold. A sluice was a long wooden trough through which water could flow. Dirt was shoveled into the sluice, where running water washed over it. The gold sank to the sluice bottom, where it was caught by wooden riffles or ridges. Large sluices, called long toms, could wash dirt at the same rate as two or three people using pans."
Hydraulic mining. Hydraulic mining was a method used in the later years of gold mining. After most of the placer deposits had been taken, it enabled miners to get gold located deep in hard rock deposits. Large flumes, or channels, directed water from a dammed stream to the mining site. A metal pipe attached to the end of the flume sent out a high-pressure spray of water. The spray from the pipe was strong enough to blast away rock and soil. The runoff water carrying dirt and gravel was directed into sluices, where the gold was separated. Life at the mines. The California gold rush attracted people from all over the world. Hopeful prospectors from Britain, Europe, Australia, China, Portugal, and Mexico flooded into San Francisco in 1849 when gold was discovered there.
And the caption reads, "These American and Chinese miners are working together." And the caption reads, "Many African people who were brought to the gold fields as slaves were able to find enough gold to buy their freedom." And the caption reads, "This little miner is ready for the gold fields. Do you think she became a miner when she grew up?" And the caption reads, "These two women made a lot of money, but not on the gold fields. They sold food to hungry miners in the Klondike." And the caption reads, "The life of a miner was often lonely. Many prospectors spent their spare time doing chores, such as scrubbing dirty laundry." And the caption reads, "This large group of miners took a break from a long day of mining to pose for a photograph."
Boom towns. As thousands of people moved to the West, settlements began forming quickly. Within days, unsettled areas became busy towns. A town was likely to appear anywhere prospectors were mining. These new towns were called boom towns. A boom town is a town where the population grows quickly, or booms. Boomtown homes. The first buildings in a boom town were rough shacks that were built to provide the miners with shelter. When people began making enough money, they built more comfortable places to live and work. A gold rush town often had well-built, two-story structures as well as rough and dirty camps. Busy roads. Boom towns were busy places. People hurried through the streets on foot, on horseback, and in wagons or carriages. The roads were made of packed dirt that turned into deep, sticky mud when it rained. Instead of concrete sidewalks, gold rush towns had wooden boardwalks. Boomtown business. In addition to prospectors, merchants and other business people moved to a boomtown in order to set up stores, hotels, and restaurants. Businesses made money selling goods and services to the miners. The success of these businesses attracted more people to the town. Going to town. Many prospectors lived outside the towns but went into town for supplies, entertainment, and news. In a boom town, there were plenty of jobs for unsuccessful miners. They worked in stores, hotels, and restaurants. Some even abandoned the gold mines and stayed in town to make money running a business. Long visits. During warm weather, the miners worked hard on their claims, but in the winter many moved into town. In the Klondike, most of the miners remained in town for the entire winter. Winter on their claim was long, cold, and extremely lonely. Creeks and rivers became frozen or too cold to pan. Miners could not dig into the frozen ground. It was much easier to spend the season in a place where there were jobs and people.
And the caption reads, "To get mail from home, the prospectors in San Francisco waited for hours in line at the post office." And the caption reads, "The people of Dawson City are gathered around a rare sight, a hot air balloon."
Striking it rich. Have you ever heard someone talk about hitting pay dirt? This expression comes from the gold rush. To prospectors, pay dirt was dirt that had the glitter of gold in it. Nowadays, pay dirt means discovering something useful or profitable.
And the caption reads, "When miners struck gold, they often built their family a large Victorian-style house on the outskirts of a boomtown. Living in a fancy home made them feel wealthy and civilized, like their friends back east. People liked to show off their newfound wealth. Building a large house was a good way to show off."
Millionaires of the Gold Rush. Not everyone found their fortune, but a few miners made over $1 million by digging on one small claim. Prospectors were not the only ones who could make a fortune, however. Landowners made huge profits selling land to eager settlers. Many business people earned a lot of money by operating businesses such as stores, hotels, and law firms.
And the caption reads, "Not everything that glittered was gold. Prospectors had to keep from being fooled by fool's gold. Fool's gold was a hard substance called iron pyrite that looked like gold but was not valuable. Fool's gold shattered when it was hammered, and it felt gritty. True gold, however, could be hammered thin and was smooth to the touch."
Grub staking. Many prospectors spent all their money in traveling to the gold fields. They did not have enough left over to buy mining equipment. Often, wealthy miners or townspeople loaned them a grub stake. A grub stake was a supply of equipment, food, or money that allowed the prospector to get started. In return, the miner had to promise to give the lender of the supplies a share of the profits. Giving money to a person or business in return for a share of the profits is also known as investing. Wasted money. Few miners struck it rich, and even fewer managed to stay rich. Some successful miners spent all their money on clothing and travel. Others invested their money in promising businesses. Unfortunately, the companies they supported often went out of business, and the investors lost their money as a result. The end of the gold rushes. Eventually, the supply of gold began to run out. To get at the gold that remained, big equipment such as dredges were needed. Dredges were huge machines powered by an engine that scooped gravel from deep rivers and lakes. Only large companies could afford such expensive equipment. Individual miners found that they could no longer mine on their own and went to work for large companies. Company miners worked for wages. Any gold that they mined went to the company and not to them. There were no more overnight millionaires. The rush of people slowed and then stopped altogether. Eventually, people began to pack up and leave. Effects of the gold rushes. The gold rushes played an important role in North American history. The discovery of gold caused people to make journeys to faraway places such as California and the Klondike. In the process of searching for gold, roads were built and buildings were constructed. Newcomers from other countries became part of North America's multicultural heritage. Thousands of people stayed in the West and started new lives. The Native Americans, however, lost their way of life. In California, ex-miners turned to farming the fertile Sacramento Valley. Cities such as Sacramento and San Francisco continued to grow and thrive.
And the caption reads, "The California Gold Rush brought thousands of settlers west, causing towns like San Francisco to grow into huge cities."